Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, as a Civil War reenactor, it's sometimes hard to tell the reenactors from the ghosts.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, do you have a real ghost story? Why not share it with us? Call 855-853-4802. If you'd rather write it in, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. You could become a premium subscriber. No commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive, which is like years worth of listening. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. You can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon's here today. How are you?
I'm good. Civil War ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I have heard so many stories like this story that we're going to share today.
Those are my favorite. Yeah. You know that.
I have
I'm a bit of a Civil War buff.
Yes.
You know, if I see, you know, if there's a chance that I can go visit a battlefield site, I am there.
I'm
going to stop and go to the memorials. I'm going to stop and go to everything because I just find the whole thing fascinating. You know,
it's tragic. And the whole history of it is just
it
tragic.
It's absolutely tragic. But I just find the history just compelling.
Mm-hmm. I do,
you know,
too.
And so one time I was at a street festival, and they had like Civil War reenactors that were there doing stuff, and they actually had a booth. And so you could go to the Civil War reenactors booth and visit with them. They're dressed like, you know, generals and stuff. And they had like all these artifacts, and you could look through them and everything. So I'm talking with these guys and everything. And I said something about how do you become a Civil War reenactor? And they said, well, you would have to pass a test to prove to us that you know about the Civil War and you're interested in it. And then, you know, you could be part of our regiment or whatever. And so that the first thing you'd have to do is that. So I said, well, give me the test. And they gave me the test, and I had to answer these questions about the Civil War. And damned if I didn't pass.
So how did you enjoy your first Civil War
reenactment? Well, I didn't do it. You could pick, you know, like what you wanted to be. I don't know that I'd gotten that far to think about what I wanted to be in it, but I just thought it'd be fun to take the test to see if I could. And I did pass, and they said I was welcome to join them if I so chose.
So if, as a woman, you can only be certain things, right?
Well, like I could act like I'm a guy.
And there was some of that going on.
Right, right.
True.
You know, I could just chop my hair off and put on a cap and...
You know, I read this book because I interviewed the woman for the Grave Talks, but it was called Civil War Ghosts. I can't remember the whole name of the book, but Civil War Ghosts book. And it was very interesting, but something I found really fascinating was after these battles, these women would go to the battle sites looking for their husbands or their loved ones. And so they'd be walking over bodies, but the rich people would send their slaves.
Oh my Lord.
To go looking for their loved ones. I never thought about that, but it kind of made sense.
Well,
and so she said, that's why there are so many of those stories about the woman in white, the woman in red, the woman in black, because there was these women who were literally walking in fields looking for their loved ones.
God.
Could you imagine?
No.
In this story today, I've heard several stories like this one. And in fact, in that book, there was a story very similar to this one, which I want to jump right in because I think it's really an interesting story. So it says, as a Civil War reenactor, I've spent many a night camping on battlefields where thousands of Americans fought and suffered incredibly violent and traumatic deaths. It's no surprise that the spirits of these men haunt places such as Gettysburg, but I had never experienced a supernatural event myself until I visited that famed battlefield several years ago. During the summer of 2009, we were camped out near Spangler's Spring, which was situated in a field in between the Union and the Confederate lines during the battle. Legend has it, both Union and Confederate soldiers met there during the night to fill their canteens, only to rejoin hostilities at dawn. On the morning of July 3, 1863, soldiers of the 2nd Massachusetts and 27th Indiana Regiments made a courageous but ill-advised charge across the open field where the spring was, resulting in the deaths of dozens of Union soldiers. Although we have a good time at reenactments, we also have a solemn duty to honor these men on the very ground where they gave their lives. At any rate, on this Friday evening at Spangler's Spring, we were sitting around the campfire as reenactors streamed into the camp, stumbling through the darkness looking for their units. As we chatted, I will never forget the very tall, bearded man in Union officer's garb came into the firelight out of the shadows. He must have been at least 6'5". He asked us in a deep, searching voice, "I'm looking for the 27th Indiana." We told him we were all portraying that unit and that he could find an open spot nearby for the night and sort things out in the morning. Before we could offer more hospitality, he nodded silently and disappeared into the darkness. The next morning, we assembled for an educational program for the National Park Service, and a bunch of us were looking for the tall reenactor we had briefly met the night before, but he was nowhere to be seen. It was like he had vanished. Before the shooting began, the Rangers gave a lecture about the Hoosier Regiment and, to our surprise, discussed that the tallest man in the Union Army, David Van Buskirk of Indiana, fought on the very ground where we stood at Gettysburg. Being from New Hampshire, we had never heard of this soldier before. Our ranks fell eerily silent when the Ranger showed us a period photograph of Van Buskirk, We gazed upon the face of the same man we had met around our campfire the night before.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that really is fascinating.
But I have heard these stories
before. All tied around that one person, because what are the odds of this guy being, this spirit being the one that shows up and then the next day being the one you get a picture of?
Right.
Because it could have been any of the spirits, right? It could have been so many different people.
And here's the thing. How would you even know that you would have seen a ghost, an apparition, if you wouldn't have had that talk the next day, if they wouldn't have shown the picture?
Exactly.
You would have just thought,
you'd have just assumed he left the reenactment or something, you know.
So doesn't it make you think, how often do these reenactors actually see someone and they don't even realize they're seeing someone?
True, true. Yeah.
I do think it's odd to do reenactments. I think that's kind of a weird thing to do. But I mean, I guess if people are interested, who am I to judge? And if you,
I don't know. Like,
I
really enjoyed talking with these guys. I mean, they really know their stuff. Like, they're really good historians, and I feel like they're really good stewards of the history.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the reenacting part, I think, is just, you know, I feel like it's maybe more educational for them and then for other people to come and see it and witness what it was like, you know. So I kind of get it. It's, you know, I'm not a good at camping, so that kind of, you know, is makes me not a particularly good.
And this would be very primitive type of camping.
Yeah, they did invite me to join, but then at the same time, I'm like, yeah, but I got to camp. It's cold. It's hot. You know,
what do I wear?
Yeah, you know, because
show me the outfit first.
Yeah, and if it has to be wool, that's itchy. I don't know. You know, so mine's a comfort thing, but I kind of get it because I do love the Civil War history, and so I kind of understand that, you know, that they're, why they're doing it. And, you know, like, they're kind of, I feel like they're preserving the history.
Yeah.
Kind of explaining it.
I just think it's a weird thing to do. Like, I'm going to reenact a really traumatic horrific event. But everything you said is also quite valid. Mm-hmm. So it's not for me. Let's put it that way. But I also wonder, like, how many times have these people seen the spirit of an actual Civil War soldier and had no idea? Because they're on the ground where this happened.
Well, exactly.
And they're trying to reenact it. I mean, there's no precise, this person died exactly here, this person died there. But they do know how many people died. They do know, approximately, I would say, how many people died, how many people were injured. And I mean, they do have information.
I just can't get over the coincidence of them seeing that particular spirit and then the next day seeing that particular picture.
Exactly.
You know?
Ooh, that's a good one. Here is a call. Let's give it a listen.
Hello, I'm Ramona, and I'm from Washington, D.C., and I want to tell you guys about my first encounter with a real life ghost, or what have you. It first started, it was about November of 1989 in the courthouse of Washington, D.C. My family and I were being evicted from our apartment, and we had to go to court to see if they could fix it. So my parents were there. I, myself, and my sister, we were sitting in the waiting room of the courthouse. My sister and I were, our backs were facing a glass. The glass of the back was the security guard. So if you look back, you will see the security guards checking everyone in, and you'll see the screening x-ray system. So I was sitting there. I had on purple pants and a white shirt and a purple coat. The woman beside me, she had an oxygen tank. She was a Caucasian woman. I myself am mixed. She was heavy set. She had a purple dress on that was flowers. And the oxygen tank was really tall, so she had it around her mouth, the part that you have to use to breathe. She had that on, and she was breathing really heavily. I heard a knock on the glass. Just three knocks. Knock. Just like that. And I looked back to my right, and she looked back to her left. And we both looked up at the glass behind us, and there was a guy standing there. From what I saw, let me describe him. He was an African-American. He looked about maybe 6'4", 6'5". An older guy. He looked to be about 50s. He was a brown skin complexion, medium brown skin complexion, and he had a hat on, all black. It was sort of like a cape, sort of like what judges wear. He had like a white piece in the middle of his neck that went along with the cape. So he knocked three times. When he did, we both looked back, and she said, "Oh," and took a big, deep breath and fell on the ground. And then I said, "That guy scared her. The guy scared her." And I put my hands on the glass, and I looked toward the left, the way he was walking. And I was looking for him. I said, "There he is. He's there." So I ran out of the court room, and I looked over to the left, and I saw him walking. But you can only see his back. And his arms were swinging. His coat, it made his cape swing. And so I said, "That's the guy who scared her. That's the guy who scared her." The security guards, there were two of them, they were just staring at me because they didn't see anything. And my sister, who was beside me, she said, "I didn't hear anybody knock." I said, "That guy knocked on the glass. He scared her. He scared her." And then I just kept saying it over and over. "He scared her. He scared her, that guy." And everyone was just staring at me, all of the adults. And one of the adults yelled out, "Get those kids out of here." They called the ambulance, and they got us out. So So we went outside to sit down. But as I was looking, I kept telling the security guard, did you guys see a guy come in with all black? He had a black cape. And they didn't say anything. They were just staring at me. And we left out to go, me and my sister. I was about 12 years old. My sister was about 13. So we went outside and sat down. Never saw the guy again. I don't know if the woman had passed away or not, but I do remember she had on a purple dress with flowers. She was a heavyset woman with the oxygen tank. And I also had on purple pants, a white shirt, and a purple coat. And when the guy came and knocked on the glass, he knocked 3 times, which made both of us look back. I looked to my right. She looked to her left. She said, oh, and just fell on the ground. And they started to do CPR or something on her. Now, I was 12 years old, but I can remember like it was yesterday. And that was my first encounter with ghosts. And I'm Ramona Williams from Washington, D.C. Thank you so much. Bye.
So do you think she did see a, as she said at the beginning, a real live ghost, which I loved that. It made me smile.
She's a good storyteller.
Yes. I loved this. I love the knocks.
Yeah. She has a beautiful voice. Mm-hmm. Well, I was just, you know, I'm thinking about like all the possibilities as far as what else it could be. And the interesting part of this to me is that something definitely knocked and something got her really upset that she saw this man, and she could see him still when he was leaving, but nobody else could see him.
You think it could have been some kind of residual haunting, like something happened with the woman in the oxygen tank and all, like this situation that happened years ago?
Yeah, and is the woman seeing somebody, you know, is the woman seeing someone she thought was dead?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what scared her so bad. I mean, that's what it felt like to me. What did you think?
I kind of thought the same thing.
Yeah.
She definitely saw something. Mm-hmm. And it bothered her and it disturbed her. And no one else is seeing it, which would be really crazy. Because it's like, but he knocked. Like, didn't you hear that?
Yeah, it's the man that knocked. That's what scared her. And she keeps trying to tell everybody that. But everybody's like, I don't see anything. And even her sister said she didn't see anything.
And the three knocks. There's, you know, there's the thing about the three knocks.
It was interesting they were all wearing purple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that, you know, I mean, purple is royalty. I was trying to think if there was any symbolism for that, you know, that would be any different than that. But I can't really think why that would make a difference. But it is interesting.
But man, it is, it's like it happened to her yesterday. She remembers it that well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when something like that happens to you, you really do, you remember it so clearly. Yeah. And especially something like that, when like she's like, but wait, nobody else is seeing this? Just me?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was a good story.
That was a good one.
There's one more quickie, and it says, my name is Keith, and these three stories happened at different points in my life. They might be a little long, but I'll try to make them as short as possible. My first story happened when I was 7. It all started about a week before spring break, and I had a dream that my dad was going to die in a car accident. The dream now is a little fuzzy, so I will try to recount it. I should probably say that I was a sideline watcher the entire dream. I was standing on the corner of the sidewalk at a 4-way intersection coming from the interstate, and I could see the car my dad was in. It happened so quickly. The light turned green and he pulled off to cross the road when I saw a car out of the corner of my eye not stopping at the red light. He crashed into my dad's car and the whole dream slowed down. I couldn't move or say anything. It was like I was forced to just stand and watch. Someone called the police, and when the ambulance arrived, I saw them take my dad and his coworker to the hospital. My dad barely made it to the hospital before he died, and I saw him take his last breath. I woke up and told my grandmother about it, and she told me not to say things like that, and that my dad was going to be just fine. But a week later, she received the call that he had been in a wreck and was getting rushed to the hospital. By the time they made it, he had died. I can't imagine having that happen. Like having the dream and then having that dream of all dreams come true.
Yeah.
So obviously Keith has abilities.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So it continues. My second story happened when I was in elementary school, and it was maybe a year or two after my first story. My grandmother had put me and my sister in bed, and being that young, I was afraid of the dark, but somehow I managed to fall asleep. I had a very weird experience. I saw nothing but darkness and was suddenly sitting at the end of my bed. Everything in the room had disappeared, and just me and the bed were left. I was surrounded by darkness, and I thought that maybe it was a dream until I looked up and at the head of the bed saw myself just lying there. At that point, I became scared and thought that maybe I had died until I noticed that I was lying in the bed and I was still breathing. It felt like whatever was going on lasted a very long time. I was too scared to move because I could sense something watching me, and that, combined with the overwhelming darkness, just made me too afraid to move. Eventually, it ended, and I woke up scared, and I told my grandmother about it. In return, she told me never to let that happen again and that I was somewhere I wasn't supposed to be. I have never had that happen again. That's interesting. Grandma has this insight, like, you are not supposed to be there. Don't ever let that happen again. Like Keith is like, yeah, no problem, Grandma. Like, I have control over
that. Well, apparently it worked because it didn't happen again, but...
Thank God.
Yeah.
My last story happened recently in July. It was maybe a week or two after I turned 20. My grandfather and I were on the way home and we were talking. I just finished working an 8-hour shift on a Friday night, and as we pulled up to the house, I saw a man. He was very tall and was wearing a blue shirt. I could see the facial features, but I couldn't make out who it was because it was so dark outside. I saw him watching us as we pulled into the yard, and as we parked, he disappeared. I asked my grandfather if he saw the man, and he said no. The next day, I asked my grandmother about it, and she said that she knew someone that she could ask about it. She didn't find out anything until that Sunday, and I discovered that she had asked my godmother about it. My godmother told her that after my dad died, she would come drop off my cousins to catch the bus, and she would see him standing in a blue shirt in the same spot I saw the man in. She had never mentioned this to me before, and I thought it was crazy how we both saw my dad over 12 years apart standing in the same spot. I hope you enjoyed these stories. Would love your thoughts on them. As always, keep up the good work. I love the show. I think Keith has some abilities that most of us don't have.
I do too. And I bet he's got other stories, you know, and other things that have happened to him that, and sometimes maybe he isn't even realizing, but the first one with his dad.
So tragic. I can't imagine.
I know, and I'm just sorry about that. But, you know, I do sometimes think that we have premonition dreams
mm-hmm.
that prepare us for things. So, you know, he had an entire week of that being on his mind. Mm-hmm. And so when it happened, he was maybe slightly prepared.
As prepared as you could be at any time, let alone when you're a kid.
But, you know, I just feel like sometimes when something really big is going to happen, we'll have a dream that sort of kind of prepares us.
And I think that grandma is a really wise person.
I think
grandma is very wise.
I do too.
Because she's like, no, don't talk like that. And I get why she would say that with a dream like that. You know, put that out of your mind. It was just a dream. I would respond the same way to a child. That was just a dream. Your dad's okay. But he went to grandma to tell her. And then he told grandma about the next thing. And then he tells grandma about the next thing.
What are you thinking on that sitting on the end of the bed, like an astral projection
thing? Kind of was like that, because he didn't think he was asleep. But grandma knew. Grandma was like, don't let that happen. It just makes me think, whatever's happening with him, he got it from his grandmother.
Yeah. Because it's not, she believes him.
And I like the thought of his dad standing there waiting for him to get home.
I do too.
Those
were really good stories.
So if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. If you want to call it in, the number is 855-853-4802, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can become a premium subscriber. You'll get advanced episodes. You get all of the archive and no commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.